1 John chapter 4, please. Notice with me, 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Let's pray. Father, help us now as we study. I pray that You would teach us much. In Jesus' name, amen. Love may not be the easiest word to define, but I'm better at recognizing things when I see them than maybe being able to clearly define them. I read a story, been a long time ago, and it stuck with me. Back in the day when these things could happen, a man went to Sears to buy a tool. And by the way, I'm told that's where you go, buy tools.
Amen.
I don't buy them because they embarrass me after I have them, but that's where you go buy tools. And so he took his little son and his little daughter to Sears, and he was going to run in and buy a tool. And when they got there, there was a petting zoo out in the parking lot of the mall. And he made the choice. He was going to let little Timmy and Lucy go over to the petting zoo. Now, I know right away I'm going to get emails, Pastor, you should not encourage parents to leave their kids in the parking lot of the mall. This was in the 40s, okay, when people had sense. But I don't encourage that. But he allowed little Timmy and Susie. He said, I'm going to run into Sears and get this tool, and I'm going to run back out. If you guys want to go to the petting zoo, then here's a quarter each, and you can go and pet the goats and whatever else is in the petting zoo. And he went in and grabbed his tool, and he had been teaching his family at family altar about love and about love requires action, and sometimes love is sacrifice and so on. And when he came back out from getting the tool, he looked towards the petting zoo, of course, wanting to see his children. And little Timmy was inside having a great time with the goats. And Lucy was just standing on the outside. She was a little older and just standing on the outside. He walked up to Lucy and said, honey, did you decide to not go in? Maybe he thought she was afraid of the animals or something. And she said, well, Daddy, you have to understand that, I don't think she said that, but she said, Daddy, it costs 50 cents to go in. And so I just gave my quarter to Timmy so Timmy could go in and pet all the animals. He's really enjoyed it. He's just loved it. And that dad says, he's telling the story when he wrote it, and he said he reached immediately into his pocket and he had some change in there and he started to draw two quarters out and he stopped. Now, this is hard for mothers to hear. But he decided to leave the two quarters in his pocket and let his daughter have the blessing of having sacrificed her quarter for her brother to do something he loved. I may not know textbook definitions, but that's a great illustration of how to choose to love somebody else. To let them have what you want. To give them what they need from what you have, even though it may cost you something that you'd like to have. You see, love is not just action. An awful lot of the times, love is expensive. Ask guys who just got engaged. But what love really does is put the emphasis on the other person, not yourself. If you ever wanted to hear something that is so opposite our culture, isn't that it? Putting the emphasis on somebody else and not yourself. In English, there's really only one word for love. Oh, we have other words that we talk. We say romance and things like that. But the Greek language is such a rich language, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I want you to understand that there are four great Greek words that are often used and translated love, but they carry kind of different thoughts about love. One is eros. Eros is not in the Bible, but eros is romantic love, and it's in all the Greek literature. And of course, eros is what our world considers love today. It is that feeling which takes you. It is that feeling where you just fall in love. The problem with eros is it's great when you fall in, it's horrible when you fall out. And the reason that we have such a high divorce rate and we have such a low level of commitment in our nation is that in our culture is that we have defined love not as another word we'll use, but we've defined it as eros. And it's something that overtakes you. It's something you fall in. Oh, it's something that's so passionate and wonderful until you lose it. A second Greek word is the word storge. It is in the Bible. It's translated as natural affection. It's like the love between a mother and a child. It's just natural. A parent and a child. Isn't it incredible in many ways that our world is training that kind of natural love out of the hearts of people when we discard millions of little children for the sake of me having what I want, the lifestyle I want? There's a third word. This is in the Bible, phileo, Philadelphia. It is friendship love. But friendship love is built on this concept. I like you, and you fill a role in my life, and so I'll fill a role in your life, and we'll be friends. Phileo. It's a wonderful kind of love, but it's not the highest kind of love. Because friends stop being friends sometimes because they don't meet the needs of one another, or maybe something comes in between them. And so it was okay as long as the love was being exchanged or the friendship was being exchanged, but then when something else comes in, that friendship is over. And then there is the highest kind of love. If you look at verse 8, it says in those last four words, "For God is love." And the word that is used there is the Greek word agape. And the love that is God and the love that God is, it's not eros. It's not passionate romantic feeling. It's not storge. It's not just a natural affection. It's not phileo. You do something for me, I'll do something for you in friendship. It is agape. It is the highest level of love. It is the love that gives and demands nothing in return. Even though we were unworthy, God chose to love us. Now, I want you to understand that the context of the passage is not romance. The context of the passage is not the love of a parent for a child. The context of the passage is not being friends. The context of the passage is God's love. And then I want you to see the command in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. There is an expectation in the believer's life that they will make the choice to love other people like God chose to love them. Amen. Wow. That's a big deal. And it's a high calling. I want you to think about how does God love? And then let's think about how do we apply that. First of all, how does God love? Number one, God loves unconditionally. God loves without placing any conditions upon us. We don't have to be anything for God to love us. Regardless of how we act, regardless of how we conduct ourselves, Jesus Christ loves us. Now, there would be some who think that's a little bit of loose preaching. You know, hey, if there's not some expectation for our behavior, then people will live at their lowest. Well, I don't know if that's true, but I know this. You don't have to be anything. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be a kind of person for Christ to love you. He just loves you. Every person in this room, I don't know what you brought in with you. I don't know what your past is. I don't know what you're thinking about right now. I can guarantee you this, Jesus loves you. 1,500 people walked through the gates of our fall festival yesterday. Probably the greater percentage of those people do not think anything like I think. They're wrong. They don't see it like I see it. They don't think of God like I think of God. They don't have lifestyles like the lifestyle I've chosen or you've chosen. And yet all 1,500 of those people and the hundreds that circumvented the gate, Jesus loves. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to live a certain way. They don't have to be anything but people. And God loves them. One of the first people that we see Jesus reach out to in the Scripture, you know who she was? She was a woman of Samaria, a Samaritan woman who was sitting at a well. At that point in her life, she had had 5 horrible relationships with men and was then, even then, in a wrong relationship with a man who was not her husband. She was a Samaritan. She was, in essence, a harlot. And she was not living as she should. And Jesus Christ sat down on a well with her. Do you know who the last man Jesus dealt with on earth was? He was a thief hanging on the cross next to him. And sometimes we glorify this thief, but please remember how this thief started. He started by joining in with the other thief and those who were in the crowd at the foot of the cross, jeering, mocking Jesus Christ. And yet, Jesus loved him enough to say to him, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." I'm just saying to you folks, sometimes we get all uppity with our orchestra and our choir and our preacher. Amen. Many have asked, why didn't you wear the hat? You don't clobber this glory all the time. Oh, we get so taken with ourselves. Jesus loves us not because we're good, and not because we're admirable. He loves us because we're people. And He loves every person in this room and every person in this world. If I love the way Jesus loves, I too will love unconditionally. I might see your piercings and your tattoos, and I might understand your lifestyle, and I won't agree with it, but I will still make the choice to love you and recognize that you're a human being whom God loved and died for. Not only does He love unconditionally, He loves willingly. He loves willingly. What an important thought that is. He loves on purpose. Now, I love my wife willingly. But to be honest with you, after 45 years, it's just pretty storge. It's just natural affection. I just love her. I don't know why I just said what I said, because I am digging myself a hole. I willingly love her every day of my life. I love my children. I love them on purpose. But friend, understand that Jesus made a choice to love us on purpose. He didn't come and die on the cross because we were part of His family. We were alienated from Him. He made a personal choice, obeying the will of His Father, to come and put Himself in our place, at our place. He loved on purpose. Most dreaded disease in the days of Christ was leprosy. And most people avoided lepers, even treated them harshly to ensure that no leper would ever come near them. And yet Jesus on purpose loved lepers. Jesus on purpose went to where lepers are or were. Jesus on purpose, when He heard a leper call out to Him, would call that leper to Him. Jesus touched lepers. And I want that to get a hold of you. I'm not suggesting that the way we love God today is to go find a disease-ridden person and just embrace them. I'm not suggesting that to you. But what I am suggesting is this, that the outcasts of society in Jesus' day still felt His love. They still felt welcomed into His circle. They were still accepted to be in His presence. They would still receive the words of mercy from His heart. They were still loved by Him. And sometimes, I fear this, we are becoming an enclave of believers who want to huddle inside of our walls and let this wicked world go untouched by us and untouched by them. And somewhere there has to be summoned up from our hearts this understanding that we are called to touch the world. Jesus willingly, on purpose, walked those dusty streets, sat down at those dinners with sinners, and was criticized for it. Not only that, but He loved sacrificially. Jesus' love for me cost Him everything, including His life. You see, agape love gives all, yet exacts nothing in return. The life of the Lord Jesus was a picture of sacrifice from the time of His birth to the time of His death. My friend, the choice to love God is a choice to love others sacrificially. We live in a world where even if we will serve in some way, it's with the question, what's in it for me? And as we live as believers, that question ought never to enter our minds. We come to a church and we say we want to serve. And the issue of what's in it for me should never cross our minds. Boy, that's so foreign, we're afraid to amen it. What's in it for me? Maybe nothing other than the pleasure of serving like Jesus served and loving like Jesus loved. A choice to love is a choice to sacrifice. As a matter of fact, others will believe we love God only when they see us love others as He loves people. I thought yesterday afternoon as I was observing everything, and I just love that. I walked around and I thought, you know, I'm always trying to balance in my mind, what is this accomplishing? What is this doing? What purpose does this have? And I'll tell you a conclusion I came to. These people at least have the opportunity to leave knowing that somebody loved them and their families. You say, love their families, you put a pumpkin in the field. Yep. They rode ponies around in a circle and painted some faces. I didn't have time to get that done. I was so busy at the cotton candy. You say, preacher, you're just being silly today. Did you know that a lot of our world lives with nobody putting themselves out for them at all? Now listen, we're going to share the gospel with people, but there were people who I spoke to. One lady walked out and my wife was working the gate and she said, thank you for coming. And the lady said back to her, no, thank you for doing something like this for families. Now folks, I don't think people get saved because we have a fall festival alone. But what I am saying to you is people will not really be open to your sharing the gospel with them until they understand that you love people. We could sit in this room and me preach to you, over and over and over and over again, and the world will never understand from my preaching to you and us dismissing at noon or around noon, will never know that we love them. How do we express to a world we love you? How do we make them understand that the people over in that building on Spriggs Road, they care about kids and care about families and care about marriages and care about people's hearts and hurts? How do we express that? Do we just show up at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning and listen to me do this? They don't hear it. But they might get it through a pumpkin and a snow cone and a pony ride. And sometime over the next couple of weeks when I do this on their door, hey, Pastor Edwards from Heritage Baptist Church. You know what they would do if they had no idea who I was and had never met me? They would say, oh no. You know what they will do now that they've been to our fall festival? They'll say, oh no, but come on in. People got to know you care about them. And you got to put yourself out if you're going to care about them. It's not easy and it's hard work. But if you care about somebody but yourself, you show it. You show it. And you do all the stuff that goes with it. And you show it. Well, will we choose to love people? Will we choose to love? How about this? Three things, and I'll be quick. Choose to love God. Main way we choose to love God is to turn from our sin and receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. I want God to know I love Him. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Because God gave His own Son to die in your place and to meet your need and to reconcile you to Him. And if your action towards God is to reject the sacrifice that He made for you, you're not accepting His love. You're not showing Him love. Make no mistake about it. We need to trust Christ as our Savior. Another way to very clearly express our love for God is to obey His Word. To obey what He tells us to do. I raised three children. And it wouldn't have been congruent with me if I'd have given them a command. And then they disobey that command repeatedly and come back and say, Daddy, I know you asked me to do this, but I didn't do it because I didn't want to, but I love you. But I love you. You know, at some point, I would begin to think in my heart, they're not telling me the truth. Because if they love me, they will keep my commandments. I think the Bible might say that. And so, if we're going to show love to the Lord, if we're going to choose to love God, then take Christ as your Savior and obey the commands that God gives you. And not only that, choose to spend time with Him personally, corporately. You know, for years and years and years, the emphasis of spending time with the Lord in my preaching has always been on trying to get people to have devotions, to have a consistent time of being in the Word of God. And by the way, I'm still really for that. But I've had to change a little bit in my preaching. I just got to try to get them to church. Because it seems that people don't have time for private devotions and they can't even find an hour a week consistently to gather corporately and worship the Lord. But I love you. But I love you. Hey, honey, won't be seeing you for the next 6 months. Going to do some other stuff. But I love you. Doesn't work, does it? Just doesn't work. How about choosing to love your family and your friends? Our families at times receive the brunt of our frustrations more than they do our love. And next to the Lord, our families are the most important thing in our lives. And they deserve a priority in our time and a priority in our effort and a priority in our testimony. They deserve for us to make the choice to love them. Quickly, choose to love hurting people. The world is filled with hurting people, crushed by the lifestyles that they've chosen. I'm going to say it again. The world is filled with hurting people, crushed by the lifestyles they have chosen. Here's my question. Do you know any of them? Do you know any of them? And if you do know them, what have you done in the last 3 months to try to assist them to know Jesus Christ? You see, choosing to love hurting people is not coming once a week and listening to me rail against the lifestyles of this world, but I'm willing to do that. Choosing to love hurting people is not coming to points of election and points in our culture like we are and just not liking the other side and just wishing it was like this and wishing it was like that. Choosing to love hurting people is knowing who they are and involving ourselves in their lives not to compromise with their sin or make light of their sin or their lifestyle, but to reveal to them Christ. Choosing to love hurting people. Our world is filled with hurting, exploited, abused people. And we stay safely ensconced behind our walls and windows. And like the Pharisees in the temple courtyard, thank God that we are not like others. When's the last time you shared the gospel with a lost man? Our challenge is not just to say that we love God. Our challenge is to turn from sin and to obey His word, to spend time with Him. Our challenge is not to only love Him, but to love the people He loves. Hey, it's easy to love my wife and my children. They're wonderful to me. Easy to love my grandchildren. Hey, it's easy to love my church family. Who's got a better church family than us? But who's going to love them? Who's going to say, I'll pay a price. I'll extend myself. I'll get involved. Who's going to do that? Well, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. God held a fall festival once. It's called Calvary. He put himself out. He gave the most expensive thing he had. It wore him out. And he gave himself so that others could be drawn to him. He provided a way, not just for them to know they were sinners, for them to know there was an answer for their sin. Now here's what I say to us, and then I'm done. Can we not choose to love? Jesus came. Jesus paid an extravagant price. Jesus preached. Jesus ministered. Jesus was with sinners. Can we not love one another like He loved us? Can we not extend ourselves? Can we not pay a great price? Can we not give sacrificially? Can we not tell them what we know? Can we not share Jesus with them? Because if we don't, are we truly loving others like He loved us? Being a believer is choosing to love. Choosing to love easy to love the people we love, but also making the choice to love the people that are so different from us. Reaching out even sacrificially to love them. Choose to love.